Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to us. Humor is good, laughter is good, Father, but we thank you also for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you really do want to interact with us at all times in every place. Father, thank you for what you're doing, showing us your glory, touching, healing people, people being saved, God. That's what the church is all about. That's why we're here, God. The Lord, lift our eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. Give us a blessed time in your word this morning, and we expect a return of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you have your Bibles this morning, to Exodus chapter 40. Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, page 135, Exodus 40. Joke never gets a laugh. I just better quit it. Exodus chapter 40. Verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Can you imagine living in such an atmosphere? Walking outside your tent door and seeing the presence and the glory of God in the central part. What happened was the tabernacle was built in the center, and the tribes were all around and in order, all around that centerpiece, which was the fire of God by night and the cloud by day. And the presence of Almighty God was in their midst all of the time. And matter of fact, His presence did so much for them that nothing wore out. They didn't get sick. They were always fed. God took care of them. And this was before the cross. This was before the cross. And the power of God, Moses was so used to His presence by the time he came down from the burning bush and spent 40 days on the mountain afterwards, he said, if you don't go with us, we're not going anywhere. We all think about that. What a glorious, glorious, glorious thing it would be to walk outside of your door on tomorrow morning when you get ready to go to work or whatever you're going to do, running errands, coming out and seeing the glory of God right in the middle of Rochester. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, that'd be awesome if God's power were just evident and powerful and a big pillar of fire was there. You wouldn't have to tell anybody about Jesus. All you'd have to do is point to the fire. What do you think that is? Is everybody there? Come on, use your imagination a little bit. Can you imagine? And then when daylight comes, it's the cloud, about 100, 150 feet in the air that can be seen all over the place. And you'd say, you wouldn't have to say anything. You just go to Kroger and say, hey, did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. That's the power of God. That's the presence of God. I got news for you. Hold on, buckle in. The power of God is in you every bit as real as that pillar and that cloud. It's in you. If you're a Christian this morning, God is dwelling in you in a powerful way. All He wants you to do is just let Him burn and let him just go. When you walk into a room, things have to change, see? If you want to hide them, you want to stick them in your back pocket, that's another thing. And that is the problem we've reached in our society. We're not allowing the glory of God to come. We go to meetings and we say, okay, we'll pay another 30 cents in our dollar, in our taxes. We'll pay another $300 a year. Go ahead and build the hospital. Go ahead and build for cancer research. But when we have a prayer meeting that we want good people to be healed, people get scared. And I got news for you, it's free. We don't even have to pay for it with our taxes. We live in a community where our jail is so overcrowded, we have to share prisoners with Peru. Look at somebody and say, he's talking to someone today. The presence and the power and the glory and the anointing of Almighty God is in us, and it's time for us to show that forth. Everything in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the substance that's in the new. Someone said that the new and the old is concealed and the old and the new is revealed. When God delivered the nation of Israel, Moses insisted that the presence of God go with them. And he said it after God said, I will go with you. I'll send my angel before you. And Moses said, I want you to know, God, if you don't go, I'm not going anywhere. We would change the atmosphere in less than a week if we'd say the same prayer every day. God, I'm leaving my house. If you don't go with me, I'm not going anywhere. Come on, somebody. The power and the anointing of Almighty God. The tabernacle of meeting, the most holy place, your spirit. Within the spirit of every Christian dwells the holy presence of Almighty God. I've tried it. I walked into Kroger the other day and I just said, God, let your glory shine through me. Man, conversations I had, woo, exciting. Come on, someone. Three levels of awareness as Christians that we have. If you're taking notes this morning, there were three parts to the tabernacle. Moses was in the tent of meeting. Later, when the tabernacle was built, the presence and power of God was in the holiest of all. But the outer court in the tabernacle, there was a place where people gathered to bring their sacrifice and give it to the priest, and it was put on the altar to cover their sins. It was sacrificed and burned on the altar, and the whole place stunk like blood and burning flesh. Come on, somebody. Here's our outer court right here, our body. It puts up with a lot. Come on, somebody, talk to your body. You say, body, my body puts up with a lot. Go on, someone. And it doesn't matter where, if we're with other people that aren't Christians, we've got to hear all kinds of things. We've got to see all kinds of things. We've got to feel all kinds of things. But the power and the presence of God is still within us. The second part of that tabernacle was the holy place. And it's where the priests took turns entering the holy place within the first curtains to change the bread of life that was there, the 12 loaves on the table, and to change the incense on the brazen altar. And many Christians live there in the holy place, and there's nothing wrong with that, but God has so much more. Come on, someone. Behind the veil, which no longer exists, just three steps further is the holiest of all within the veil, where the high priest went once a year. In the Shekinah glory of God was shining in that place.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And that's where God welcomes you as a Christian. You have freedom to go anywhere you want. You can stay in the outer court. You can worship the Lord in your flesh. But it's not going to get you anywhere. Come on, somebody. Grab my Bible and go to church today. I'm a Christian. I haven't read it this week. Haven't asked God for anything, but I think I'll ask Him for something this morning. You're living in the outer court. Come on, somebody. People get so afraid of the presence of God. You say, well, God's moving over there. People are being healed. People are being slain in the Holy Spirit. I don't want anything to do with that. That's because you're not used to being in the holy place where God is interacting and concurrently working with His children all the time. Because when God came in, this deal that He made with you and I, He says, if you don't mind, I'll be the Lord, you be the servant.
Right.
If you don't mind. Many of us have turned it around. We are the Lord, He's the servant. Jesus, quickly, come on, help me pay these bills. Jesus, quickly, come on, bless me. Jesus, quickly, take care of these relationships. And then if you don't mind, just sit over there and I'll call you on you later. No, when He came in as a relationship, He came in as Lord. Some say, hey, you know, this Christianity doesn't work because we're upside down and backwards. Society says religion is a private and a personal matter. It's that sort of thinking that dampens the presence of God and makes us ineffective.
Amen.
Can you imagine getting out of your tent in the morning and finding no food there, and the glory of God, the pillar and the fire are gone. The cloud's gone. You run over next door and you go, what happened to the presence of God? I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody else. Everybody goes to Moses and says, what happened to the presence? Well, God's not, you guys are going to have, you're on your own today. God took a day off. He's been working hard. He took a day off. Can you imagine? I can't find that anywhere in the Word. God's continual presence was to be feared and worshiped and honored. Come on, somebody. It's good to have the glory released like we're experiencing this morning. John Shiver, in this book, The Glory of His Presence, he says it's the primary reason that God reveals Himself in glory is to cause people to know the reality of His personhood in order that they understand clearly the need to obey His commands and follow His leading. Understanding clearly the need to obey His commands and follow His leading. The physical reactions to the power and the glory of God have been seen oftentimes as juvenile and embarrassing to the dignity of the Creator. But what we don't realize is when God begins to move on our five senses, it just drives us out of our way, out of our spirit. We want more of Him. Come on, someone. We say, well, we need to be dignified when God moves on us. He needs to get with the program. I mean, we just need to be, bless God. Bless God, brother. God's filling me up. Man, get the Creator of the universe. I wonder if in those 40 years when God's presence was in the middle of Jerusalem, I wonder if anybody just took it for granted on a daily basis. Never looked at it. Never seen it. I don't think so. I think it was the center of attention. Number one, it was central air and central heat for everybody there.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Desert can get cold at night.
That's right.
I don't think anybody ever took that for granted. May we never take His presence for granted. The reaction is somewhat startling whenever God moves on people, but also most wonderful. I watched a young lady that came up. She had prayer for cancer in her body, and it was in an odd time in the service that I was in, and there was nobody there to minister to her from behind. She fell on a cement floor and cracked her skull. You could hear it like a watermelon hitting pavement. And everybody ran towards her. Not a mark on her. 2 weeks later, we found out she was cancer-free. Come on. That power and anointing aligns with us and aligns us with His will so that we can do what we have been called to. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. That's the Old Testament, Rick. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I'm feeling a little woozy up here, the power of God. Everybody there? 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians. 2 Chronicles 6, 41. Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces. How many bowed their faces? all bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Amen. This wasn't done on some closed building with stained glass, doors shut. This was done in the temple of Solomon. And it was so wide open. Solomon prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, Father, come, God." And what happened? The glory of God came into the temple. And the glory filled the temple. But that was Old Testament. They needed all that theatrics. We don't need any of that theatrics now because we're modern. See? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May His glory visit His church again. Yes. And then the community that we've been praying for, all of Jerusalem, it said, all when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord, what did they see? They didn't hear a bunch of preaching. They saw the glory of God. They saw the fire and the power of God. And they got on their faces. And he said, "For he is good, and his mercy endures forever." His prayer is interesting. He said, "Arise to your resting place. The eternal home of the Lord is within you. We are the one with him through Christ." Wednesday night I said, the Milky Way, if we could look at the Milky Way being that little light right there on that above the door. The right side, the Milky Way that we live in, right there is 100,000 light years from end to end. Right over there. And within that Milky Way is our little planet. And this whole room is the universe. And God decided to live in you. The God of the universe that named every one of the stars, which in the Milky Way, there's over 100 billion stars. And he named them all. Scripture says he named them all. And he decided to live in you. And the universe is expanding 2,000 miles every day. It continues to grow. And God said, of all the places that I could live, I chose Pastor Brad Dalton to live in. Come on, somebody. I chose John Penn to live in. And we want to contain that power. We want to say, "God, behave yourself. Don't get too Pentecostal on me. Don't get too wild on me, God. I want you to be, could you be a Methodist God for me? Could you be a quiet God for me?" When he answered prayer for Solomon, he came as the Lord. How many know he came as the Lord? He didn't sneak in through the back door and say, "Just call on me when it's my turn." He came in the presence of the temple and nobody could minister. Nobody could do anything. When he came in the presence in the tabernacle, Moses couldn't enter the tabernacle. And I know there are good, godly people in this room. We've been praying for revival. What do we expect if God answers our prayer? It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. God's going to come and show his power because that's what he does. He's not coming in the back door saying, "Call on me about 15 after the service start and I'll pray." I'm talking to you this morning. Maybe, just maybe, that's what's hindering the revival we've all been praying for, because we know when God comes, he's going to be God. He's going to open up on us. Power of God. Anointing of God. The fire of God. Let me read some excerpts about past revivals just for a minute. I want to keep you for a few more minutes. Is that all right? Say, "That's okay. Mom, dinner will wait because you're being taken out to dinner today anyway. So you're okay." Uh-oh. Uh-oh. On New Year's Day, 1739, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, and four other members of the Holy Club, plus about 60 other like-minded people, had a love feast in London at Fetters Lane. About 3 in the morning, as we were continuing instant in prayer, the power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many cried out for exceeding joy. Many fell to the ground, overcome by the power of God. It was a good thing it was a little bit before midnight, because people had to go home for work the next day. No. As soon as we recovered a little from the awe and amazement at the presence of His Majesty, we broke out in one voice, "We praise Thee, O God. We acknowledge Thee to be Lord." This event has been called the Methodist Pentecost. In another meeting at Bozeye's Chapel in 1776, June 30th, Wesley wrote, "At 4 in the afternoon, I preached again." This was before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, by the way. "I set before Thee an open door and none could shut it. I had gone through about 2/3 of my discourse and was bringing the words home to the present. Now when such power descended that hundreds fell to the ground and the house seemed to shake with the presence of God. The chapel was full of white and black, and many were without that could not get in. Look wherever we would, we saw nothing but streaming eyes and faces bathed in tears, and heard nothing but groans and strong cries after God and the Lord Jesus. My voice was drowned amidst the groans and prayers of the congregation. I then sat down in the pulpit. Both me and Mr. Shatford and I were so filled with the divine presence that we could only say, 'This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" George Whitefield, by the way, who just showed up in cornfields and 10,000 people would come up to hear him preach. Just stop in his cornfield. No announcements, no flyers, no email. And 10,000 people would show up to hear him preach. Such commotion in an event he was in, such commotion was surely never heard of, especially about 11 o'clock at night. It far outdid anything I ever saw in America. For about an hour and a half, there was such weeping, so many falling into deep distress and manifesting in various ways that description is impossible. The people seemed to be smitten in scores. They were carried off and brought into the house like wounded soldiers taken from the field of battle. Come on, somebody. In Wales, the following are but a few of the many accounts that happened in Wales. Throughout the country, there was an overwhelming sense of the presence of God. It seemed to be universal and inescapable, not only in churches and prayer meetings, but on the streets, on trains, in homes, and in taverns. People were gripped by the Spirit. Rich and poor, old and young, all were moved by the power of God. Many were the instances of men entering public houses, ordering drinks, and turning on their heels, leaving them on the counters untouched. The sense of the Lord's presence was such to practically paralyze the arm that would raise the cup to the lips. During the Hebrides revival, there were actually reports of people being awakened from sleep in their homes, stricken by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's presence. These people would go out into the night to the police stations, weeping under the power of God and asking the police to tell them what to do about their sinful state. The police regularly sent people to the churches where they could be saved. In 1970, the glory of the Lord came powerfully at Asbury College, a small Christian college in Wilmore, Kentucky. The revival began in a Tuesday morning chapel service as students began filing to the front of the auditorium under a deep sense of conviction. That chapel service continued 24 hours a day for over a week. Classes were suspended in recognition of what God was sovereignly doing in that place. It was featured on the NBC Nightly News, and articles detailing what God was doing appeared in many national newspapers. It was as if the tangible presence of God was hovering over the entire town. Visitors reported experiencing a strange desire to take off their shoes when they entered the town, just as Moses and the burning bush. Many local people throughout the area were saved in those days of the visitation of His glory. I read an account where the police were sent in. They sent them in because parents were worried their kids weren't coming out, and the police never came back out. The police never came back out. They fell under the power of God. So not only were they being moved on as students, they had no police force. Oh God, bring it to us once again. Are you hungry, folks? I'm hungry for the power and the anointing of Almighty God. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. I invite you to come. 10:30 next week. I'm going to have a night watch of prayer. I'm going to be here all night praying. If you want to join me, come. But we're going to celebrate the birth of the church, Pentecost Sunday morning. We're going to be here celebrating the birth of the church. We're going to lay hands on people. We're going to see them healed, delivered, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Father, I pray this morning. I pray, God, that this message would burn within our bosom. Lord, that we would desire your presence and your power and your anointing. God, that we would desire it more than our own breath, oh God. Lord, that we would go after you and put you in your rightful place, not as somebody that's visiting, not as somebody being told to behave themselves, but God, be the power and the glory in our lives, oh God. We give you the lordship again. Our throne we give up, God. We get off the throne and let you sit on the throne of our heart once again. Once again, be the Lord of our lives. Just like it was when we got saved and we couldn't wait to tell somebody. Fire of God, move amongst us right now. You feel the presence of God, I want you to stand. If you feel the presence of God on you, I want you to stand right now. Feel the presence of God on you, I want you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand right where you're at. You feel the presence of God. If you feel the presence of God, Lord, I pray, fill these people, God, with your power and your anointing, God. Meet needs, God. Touch lives. Touch bodies, Father. Touch hearts, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You want some prayer this morning? Come up. If you need prayer for your physical healing, mental touch, you need an answer to prayer, I'm here to pray with you. We're going to put some worship music on. If you have to go, go. If you could stay and worship with us, let's let Almighty God be Almighty God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Put some music on and we're here to pray with you.